if you will, to a very, very well-known passage. And during the month of January, we are going to be going through these verses together. This morning we started the series and by focusing on our enemy, and tonight we pick it up by seeing how we need to prepare for battle. It's taken from the book of Ephesians and chapter 6 from verse 10. Ephesians and chapter 6 and from verse 10. Listen to God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. Friends, will you pray with me just for a moment? Father, we treasure your word, and we thank you this evening that we can spend this time learning from the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us not just to know this passage, but to really understand it, to apply it to our lives, so that 2010 may be a year where spiritually we grow, where spiritually we are strong, where spiritually we are able to stand our ground. It's our deepest longing to grow, Lord, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray this evening, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now friends, just for a moment I want to just recap on what we saw this morning. It's my very strong conviction and belief that our modern world, and especially the history of our present times, we can only understand in terms of the unusual activity of the devil together with the principalities and powers of darkness. And we live in a world very sadly today that laughs at that statement. They laugh at the fact that you and I believe there is a personal devil. They will draw cartoons and draw pictures of this little person with a fork and pour scorn and mock at it. But we are saying tonight, and I really want to try and urge it upon you, that that is not true. There is a devil. We saw this morning where he came from. We saw his rise and how he was expelled out of heaven. And he was driven out of heaven and expelled into hell. And there, together with the principalities and powers and an enormous amount of spirits under his control, he engages in a war. Now one day when you and I get to heaven, the lovely thing is that we are going to wear robes. In spiritual language, the robes of glory. But this side of heaven, day by day here on earth, we're not going to wear the robes. We are not told to put on the robes. Rather, we put on the armor. And the reason is, friends, because we're in a war. And it's a very, very, very difficult war that you and I are involved in. John Stott, who's one of my favorite authors, said these words, "A thorough knowledge of the enemy and a healthy respect of his prowess are a necessary preliminary to victory in war. If we underestimate our spiritual enemy, We will see no need for God's armor. We will go out into the battle unarmed, with no weapons but our own puny strength, and we will become quickly defeated. Now, you know what, brothers and sisters, that's the reason why we do see it happening on such a regular occurrence, that Christians are falling. They're failing because the devil is at work. He is cunning, he's wicked, and he's powerful. Charles Hodge put it like this. The Christian conflict, it's not only real, it's difficult and it's dangerous. It's one in which true believers are often grievously wounded. Multitudes of reputed believers entirely succumb. It's one in which great mistakes are often committed. Serious losses incurred from an ignorance of its nature. Now, the sad thing is that when you and I watch BBC World or Sky News or watch E! News or whatever other news broadcast you watch, and all of the things that are happening today, and the thing that's so easy to happen is we can say, well, why did those guys just try and take out the Togo soccer team and belt that bus with machine gun fire for 20 minutes? What drives somebody to do that? What drives that man to try to bomb that plane out of the US on Christmas Day? What does this? What drives a man to rape and to murder and to steal and to kill? This morning at our 8 o'clock service, we heard of one of our members who was hijacked last Tuesday night in his driveway here in Pinetown. Unbelievably miraculous how God preserved his life. We are living in dark days, friends. They are not easy times. How can you be strong? That's what I want to try and help you with. And I apply it to my own life, first of all. Now, the Bible tells us that up against the enemy, who is Satan together with his forces, God says to you and to me, and we'll launch into what I want to share this evening. Finally, be strong. So you and I must be strong. So that you and I can stand, that we won't give in to the evil one and his temptations and his power. And how do we become strong? God's word says, listen, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. That's the reason why we are doing this series. Now, there are six pieces of armor that you and I must put on. And may I say, friends, if you don't, that's your choice. That's your choice. But if across 2010 you make grievous mistakes, or perhaps you're going to fall, or perhaps you're going to get wounded, or perhaps you're going to wander away, it may happen, then I want you to remember what I'm telling you just this month. It's absolutely critical for you and me to have the full armor of God. Well, that's what we had to look at this morning. So what's the first piece of armor? Well, the Bible tells us, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist. That's number one. Now, just for a second, I want to show you something. In 1968, after I finished school, I went and I was called upon to do my military training. And when you go and do your military training, this, believe it or not, is one of the most important pieces of equipment that you are given. You can see, I haven't put on one bit of weight since 1968. Still fits me perfectly. And this is what you call a wedding belt. Now, folks, this is critical. This is vital. And I'll show you why. Let me just take this off because that's putting a spanner in the works. But you put the webbing valves on, and I'll show you what happens. Oh, wrong way around. Sorry. I've got the left-handed colonel laughing at me there, but that's not a problem. Now, this has got to be strong around your waist. If you have a look here at the back, you've got these two little things. Your sleeping bag hangs from the bottom. There are two girdles here at the top, which give you another piece of equipment over your shoulders on which your whole big rucksack goes. In that rucksack, you get your food, you get whatever you need to go on your route marches or into the wherever you're going. On either side, over here, you have your water bottle, and over here, you've got your ammo pouch, in case you need that. At the top, you've got your sleeping bag. Is that right, Fetty? Did I leave anything out? He's the officer commanding. But you see, friends, what I want you to see, sorry, it's just a silly illustration, but this is critical. The sleeping bag, your rucksack, your food, your ammunition, your water, everything is all connected to the belt. Now let's just say, for example, that you put this belt on and it's too loose. What's going to happen? Then you're going to be going on a big route march and you're going to be walking those because it's not tight. This has got to be tight. And it's got to fit properly. And if you don't use it properly, friends, you're in big trouble. Now it's an amazing thing that when Jesus says, now I'll tell you how to be a strong Christian, before anything else, you must put on the belt of truth. If you haven't got the belt of truth, you're in trouble. You won't be able to carry your water bottle. You won't be able to carry your ammunition. You'll have no place for your sleeping bag. You'll have no place for your food. It's critical to have the belt of truth. In those particular days, as you, I'm sure you've heard many, many times before, the girdle or the belt would be wrapped around these Roman soldiers, which would enable them to hold all the other pieces of their garments together so that they could run unimpeded. The belt of truth is absolutely vital. So the question is, what is it? What do I need? I'm talking about me personally. What do I need for 2010 that's going to help me not just to stand, but to be strong? My brothers and sisters, what can I say to you that's going to make you strong? And there are two things that it teaches us. The first thing that it tells us is this. It is critical to have a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. That's number one. The truth of God's Word. Now, in saying that, you've picked it up straight away. We are not giving this word here to the unbelievers. This is not a word for the people that you work with or the people that you're at school with because they haven't yet become Christians. This is for Christians. This is for those people who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ, because once you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you enter into a war. You enter into a battle. And if I'm to be a strong Christian, I need this belt. James Phillip is a lovely author. And he summarized it in this way. This means quite simply that we allow the truth of God to be a living reality in our lives. We live by it. We act upon it. We breathe it. We let it govern our conduct. We let it govern our attitudes day by day. It becomes like a second nature. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying to me. He is saying, put on the belt. And what that says to us, my friends, is you and I have got to get to know this book. This is the truth of God's word. Now we've dealt with it in the past. We don't need to touch on it again. That this precious book is the inspired word of God. It's the inerrant word of God. It's the infallible word of God. It is the sufficient word of God, and it's the final word of God. We believe that. Those are all critical things for us to believe. And what the belt is saying is, if I go to battle and I don't know my Bible, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. Listen to Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's what it says to me. Remember that lovely verse that we all know in Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I do not sin against you. Or Jesus taught us in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You remember, friends, when Jesus was tempted, the devil came to Jesus on three occasions and he tempted Jesus. On each occasion, you've heard that, Jesus counteracted the temptations of Satan with those three famous words, it is written. So the temptation, why don't you just jump down and the angels will capture you? What did Jesus do? Quoted the Bible. Why don't you turn the stones into bread? Jesus quotes the Bible. Why don't you bow down and worship me? Jesus quotes the Bible, you see. He was girded with the truth. He had the belt of truth. He knew the word. Just one more time from Charles Hodge. He's an amazing writer. He says, to enter into this spiritual conflict, ignorant or doubting, would be like to enter into battle blind and lame. And in the wars that are going on at the moment, and the soldiers go into war blind, or they go into war lame. Imagine that. Sounds crazy, eh, friends? But that's Christians. That's some Christians. They are blind and lame. They fall and wander and go up and down and are riddled with all sorts of problems. And I'll tell you the basic reason is they have not got the belt. If you haven't got the belt, you're in serious trouble. On the other hand, James Phillips said, but when a man or a woman is fired up by the truth of God's word, he is invincible. He will stand like a colossus among pygmies. He has the belt of truth. Look at Jeremiah. They tried to kill him. They banged him into the pit. And remember that lovely word where Jeremiah responds in chapter 15 and he says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You look at Jesus, you look at Paul, you look at Jeremiah, they're all saying the same. They were strong because thy word was in my heart. Carl over there is studying at George Whitfield. That was named after the great evangelist, George Whitfield. Remember, George Whitfield was a minister in Gloucester. He was preaching, he was baptizing, he was burying the dead, leading Holy Communion, and he wasn't a Christian. And then he got converted. And if you read his diary, now these are such lovely words. Listen to what he said. He says, my mind is now open and enlarged. I began to read the Bible now on my knees. I laid aside every other book. And I prayed over every line and every word. This proved to be meat indeed. It was drink for my soul. And every day I received fresh light. Fresh light and fresh power from God. That's fantastic. Every day. Every day. No backsliding. No growing cold. No burnout. Like you hear all the stuff today. That never happened. Every day he wakes up and he receives fresh power, fresh light, fresh life. As he put on the belt, began to love the Word of God. One of our forefathers was a man called John Rogers. They burnt him later at the stake. Before he died, he wrote these words. He says, Lord, whatever you do to us, take not the Bible from us. Kill our children. Burn our houses. Destroy our goods. Oh, spare us thy Bible. Only take not away thy Bible. These were strong men. My brothers and my sisters this evening, have you got the belt tight? Or you going into battle ignorant? If I may say it with love and I hope lots of humility, but if I had to ask you, how much time did you spend reading your Bible yesterday? You answer that, just in that mind of yours. How much time did you spend in the Word yesterday? Or Friday? Or the whole of last week. See, maybe you're too busy. Well, that's your choice, my friend. That's your choice. But I want to say to you as your brother, if you want to be strong, you're going to have to go home tonight and say, Dear God, I want to be a Whitfield. I want to be a Rogers. I want to be like Jeremiah or Paul or like my dear Lord Jesus. And you need to set aside a good chunk of time every day as he does. Every day to receive from God fresh light and fresh love and fresh power. And when people stop you in the street and ask you about the Trinity, you can answer them. You can defend the Trinity from the Bible because you know your Bible. When they say to you, Jesus is not God, you can argue and say, He is God. Here's the reason. Because you know the Bible. But people don't know the Bible. James Packer, he's got the books in our library. He actually wrote these words. He says, never since the time of the Reformation, that's 500 years ago, have Christians as a body been so unsure and so tentative as to what they should believe and do. It's a hang of a statement. But he's right. He's right. You go to so many Christian bookshops, and you look at the books that people are promoting. Lots of testimonies, lots of stories, lots of novels, and you look for the commentaries, and look for the theology books, and there are very few. Why is that? Because we are living in a day of famine of the truth of God's word. All I ask you tonight, please, friends, is you've got to put on your belt. If you haven't got the belt, you're going to have problems. Big, big problems. And you won't be able to answer people. You won't be able to defend your faith. And you won't be able to share your faith. Which you're going to say, I actually don't know. And why don't you know? Because you've been lazy. And you haven't spent time with God. Now just secondly, and then we finish. There's the other side to this belt. It's not only the truth of God's word, but there's the truth of my heart. The truth of my heart. You see, what that is saying is this, that as I go into the battle, I do need to know God's word. Yes, I do. But that's got to be backed up with absolute sincerity. Absolute sincerity of mind and heart. Put in another word, single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. I don't know if you were watching, look, we're very privileged, I know that. BBC World, just the other day, and they interviewed that suicide bomber who wrapped himself with all the stuff, and he blew himself up and killed 8 American CIA agents. And you listen, and I listen to him. For Allah, anything. For Islam, anything. Wrap these things around me, I'll do it. Take my life, yes. Because my life's nothing. It's all for Islam. That was the interview. But you know what, friends? You don't find that commitment too often among Christians, to be honest. You don't. The level of commitment is very, very low sometimes. So it's easy to say, yes, I've given my life to Christ. And that's wonderful. But it's more than that. See, Psalm 51:6 says, we need truth in the inner parts. Or Malachi says, the truth of the law was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and he didn't turn away from iniquity. It's a tremendous verse that. Because see, what Malachi is saying, what Psalms are saying, what Ephesians are saying, is that you back it up with a life of absolute, total sincerity and commitment. So William Gurnall, who wrote the defining work on the armor, took me 2 years to read. It's a very detailed exposition of these verses. William Gurnall says, some by the truth mean the truth of the Bible. Others mean truth of the heart, sincerity. I think they should go together and comprise both. And he's right. He's right. If I'm to go into battle, it's 100% commitment and loyalty and dedication to the Lord Jesus. Hendrickson, just to show you how what they all wrote, put it like this. It's quite scary for me. He says, apart from such a life, friends, apart from such a life, there it is. Read it slowly. The would-be Christian will have no defense against Satan's accusations. You will have no assurance of your salvation. You will lack the power to attack because the testimony of the lips will be ineffective. Your neighbors will never be won for Christ. The evil one will never be vanquished. But on the other hand, when righteousness in conduct is present, what a mighty weapon for defense and offense it becomes. So in summary, what John MacArthur says is, I believe that being girded with the truth is the discipline of total commitment. It's the committed Christian, just as the committed soldier and the committed athlete who is well prepared and he will stand at the end. There's so many things that pull us away. Our work pulls us. Our hobbies pull us. Our money pulls us. Our family pulls us. What I want to say to you, my dear, dear friends, as I speak to my own heart more than anybody else, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be like Lot. When God said to Lot, Lot, get out. I'm going to destroy Sodom. He came to his family and they laughed at him. Remember that? That's terrible. They laughed. My friends, it's total. It's absolute. So that the Lord Jesus Christ was very strong. I've got a book in my library called Hard Sayings of Jesus. A man comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I want to follow you. But can I just first go and say goodbye? And Jesus says, no. No. If you put your hand to the plow and you just look back, you're not worthy of me. That's a hard saying, isn't it? One man says, can I just first go and bury my father? And Jesus says, leave the dead to bury the dead. You must follow me. What is Jesus saying? He says, I am saying to you, I want absolute, total, all or nothing, abandonment and commitment. And without that, in my life, and if I may say that for you, that's going to happen. So what have we seen today? We're in a battle. My friends, we're in a war. It's not easy. It's a war. Our papers are riddled with top celebrity and sports people that have fallen hard. It's going to happen again and again and again. We're going to hear of the most horrendous crimes again and again and again, because there's an enemy and his name is the devil. And what Jesus says to me and to you as Christians, says Christian, stand! Stand your ground! How do I do that, Lord? Put on the belt. What is that? Know your Bible. Live the Bible. Let it govern your thoughts and your attitudes and your work. And back it up with a life of commitment. Let's pray. Oh, gracious, gracious God, we listen to your word and we realize, I know in my own life, how far short we fall. How many mistakes are so often made. How many opportunities are lost. Please help us to put on our belt of truth. To love your word and be saturated with your word and to know it and to obey it. And to live it. And please help us, Lord, not to be half-hearted or to be marked with mediocrity, but to be those Christians who are marked with commitment. Please help us and please forgive us where we have failed you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.